We're just returning from India, which hopefully explains my shirt. I actually received this from my son Jonah a year ago when he came back, and I was too embarrassed to wear it, and I'm going to get so many questions, and it really is a beautiful shirt, and I don't know why I resisted it. But since this is a return from India morning, I figured it'll be explained by just the occasion that it is. Save me some words. But it's so good to be back. It's such an awesome thing to go away. There's a part of our hearts that's still very much in India. I said in one email that it's great to be back, and I wish I was going back 2 weeks from now. There's so much to do. This world is so much bigger and so much more demanding of the anointing that every single one of us carries than I don't think many people understand. There are very few people who have traveled enough to actually understand the demand that exists on this globe for the anointing that every single believer carries. We think we have great demand and great need for it here, and we do. And you go to a place like India, you see that the need there is the same. It has different packaging, has different cultural barriers, has all different demands, but the anointing is still in just as high demand there as it is here. And the reality is that Tom brought a beautiful word that resonated with me the whole time that we were there, and is that we need to eliminate the word missions. We need to recognize that when God calls you and equips you, you go wherever you go on this ball of earth and water, and you be who God's called you to be. That's the simplicity of the gospel. Doesn't change. There's not a special Messiah to India and a special Messiah to the U.S. and a special one. Doesn't work that way. There was one person. And when you see it that way and you recognize that what you carry here, you bring there, and you continue to bless and pour out the same way that you do here, and you trust the Holy Spirit to make it understandable and to make it a blessing, and He does. And so we just want to leave some time this morning for some of those that went on this trip. What ended up being four of our children went with us. We took Hadassah with us as well, and we just had an amazing time. There's so much that happened. There's really no way to bring a summary in even just a couple of hours of everything that happened. The reality is that there's just limits. There's such limits. I mean, we could put a few pictures up, which we'll do, but you have to go. You just have to go. It's just a disservice to think that there's some video series or some level of... You could watch 100 hours of tape of everything that goes on there and not have... You can't smell it, first of all. I mean, we could have tried to bottle some of it and tried to bring it back and just give you a smell of India, but there's just, it's too vast. There's too much, and it's not just India. There's every nation you go to has a unique flavor, a unique taste to it, but India is something, and I think that you really need to consider. You know, we have some places, if the Lord's calling your heart to do it, we can make sure that we align you with something in India that's going to be a blessing to the people that you go to, and you're also going to be blessed. So there's a wide variety of what's available in India right now, and it's amazing. It doesn't all look the same, and that's a gift in and of itself. So who'd like to start of our team that was with us? Who wants to just testify for a couple of minutes? Come on, Jonah. You jumped up first. It's all you. Do what? Yeah, why don't you guys come on and move forward so we don't take a... There you go. Come on forward. Just sit here in the front row. There's room for you.
Here you go, Bob.
Yay. Hello. it was awesome. It was just awesome. Awesome. I'm sorry. It's not my fault, but it's a joy inexpressible. And as much as I like to try anyway to express it, I don't have time. So... the verse that really was just on my mind and impacted me like the whole time was Psalm 34:8, and I was taste and see that the Lord is good. And the revelation that I got from that was that He already is good. So I don't have to ask Him to bless me with something or be good or anything, because first of all, He's already good. Second of all, He's already blessed me with every spiritual blessing. So I've already been given it. That doesn't mean I have it, because I need to choose to accept it. He's left it to be my choice and my responsibility to accept it. And there's a few times I actually, unfortunately, missed opportunities. I didn't share them with anyone, and I won't actually share specifically, but there's a few times I missed opportunities that were obvious would have turned out to be amazing because I decided to be too tired. I was too tired, and I decided to accept it. And I was too tired, and I missed out on amazing opportunities. And I got sick of that, and I decided to... that's better. So there was one time, we were having a really good time, and like we visited 5 villages in one day, and on the last one was like the only one that wasn't... like they were getting better and better up until the last one, and it was like, not at least for me, nothing was happening well. And once again, I felt it was a spirit of tiredness and a spirit of... I didn't want to keep going. But for once, I decided not to accept it, and I decided to believe that something was going to happen and keep going, and I really didn't want to. And up until the time that I saw this woman who had a kid who was, like, something was really wrong with his stomach, and his throat was, like, all raw and raspy from crying so much, and she didn't want me to actually pray for him because he was asleep, but she wanted me to pray for her. She was a Christian, and... they don't fall out. Indians don't fall out. And I've had 2 other Indians fall out. One was an old man, so technically it was just like, well, he was just weak. He's already weak. And the other one was a baby. Like, I was praying for her, and the mom was holding her, and she just conked out while I was praying for a few seconds. But I was praying for this woman, and even though time after time things weren't going well, like in every person we talked to, I was still praying as if I had faith something was going to happen every time. And this time, while I was praying, I said, "You are blessed and your son is healed now," or something like that. And when I said "now," I snapped my fingers. And her husband was standing next to her, so it wasn't too like awkward or uncomfortable. She like just fell over on me. And I kind of felt weird catching her because all I could really do was grab her shoulder and her head, but her husband helped me with that. And as soon as that happened, I just felt drained, like that was awesome, but now I'm instantly tired. So then I kept praying, and then I felt built up again, and I was praying for a little longer, and she like started crying after she woke up, and her husband was crying, and her son stopped, like I could hear him rasping from out here just as he was asleep. He like that noise stopped, and she went and checked on him, and he wasn't rasping, but he wasn't awake, and he was fine, and when he wakes up, I believe he's going to be completely better. Yeah. But that wouldn't have happened. That wouldn't have happened if I didn't choose to accept the opportunity. Accept the opportunity and the blessing of the opportunity. And I just chose, in accepting it, I chose to see it as a blessing and not another hindrance keeping me from going home and sleeping. Right. Yeah. I didn't accept that. Although I felt tired, I didn't decide to accept tiredness, so I wasn't tired. I felt tired, but I was still completely energized, because although I was tired, I wasn't living by me. I was living by Jesus, who's inside of me. And he wasn't tired. So neither was I. And I'm glad I was... I blessed you with what I said, and then I'm going to sit down now.
For me, India was a completely new experience. It was my first time evangelizing, my first time leaving the country, my first time doing any kind of public speaking whatsoever. I was extremely nervous the first time I got up to speak. So the first time that it happened where I was just speaking and I felt the Holy Spirit, it was like... It felt like there was nobody in the room. I really felt like I was just talking to the room. But God was in the room, so it was really, really amazing. Evangelizing was really awesome. Some people just turned it down straight up. Some people would accept you immediately. And like, you know, you can get into conversation. They'll be shocked just because you're a white person, and out of the billion people there's very few white people. So especially when you're in a remote village, like, you know, you walk by and they're like, watching you, it opens up an opportunity to talk to them. So you have a major advantage in that automatically. You know, some people, like, you know, you talk to them, they're excited to hear from you, but as soon as you mention Jesus, they're like, crap, he's one of those people. But if you can explain the truth in that to them, they're like, they see it in a whole new different light, because they wouldn't hear it from someone who's just like them. You seem different, and you are different in a lot of ways. So many more people accepted. There was like the same day that Jonah, I and our pretty much our whole team went out in into villages. We were only planning on doing 2 villages that day. We ended up doing 5. The whole team was completely exhausted. Some of us were like, you know, feeling literally down because there were some people who didn't accept it. You know, on the last village, I was like, I was feeling really drained. I felt like I wasn't hearing from God. I felt like I was just going to give up and, like, you know, let everybody who didn't accept Jesus right away just, you know, live the rest of their lives in that same place. And, you know, I told Jared about it because he was my teammate that day, and he prayed for me. And as soon as he started praying, I felt God back in me. And it was so amazing. The next person that we talked to, you know, he accepted Christ immediately. There was 3 more people that accepted Christ that day. And, you know, it was really, really amazing. We saw healings. It was a really, really amazing day. The scripture I have for that. Hang on. It's Paul's, it's Psalms. I always read that wrong. It's Psalms. It's Psalms 96, verse 6. It says, "Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary." When you're evangelizing, you can choose to be on your own and fail, or you can choose to be with God in his sanctuary and succeed every single time. It's...
Praise God. Indy was awesome, and that's an understatement. What do you share? So before I came to church, I knew I was going to have to share something, and you don't always know until you get there. And during worship, God spoke to me twice, so I'm going to share those 2 things real quick. The one's just a quick story, and I think it's just for all of us to challenge where we're at. And that's, I didn't get the picture of Dan quick enough, but there's a picture. There's motorcycles. They call them two-wheelers. And it's got 5 propane tanks on the back of it. Now, I wanted to get a picture of this because I do natural gas for work, and my boss would think this is hilarious because it's way outside of bounds. And then I realized what God said to me was, like, think of OSHA. OSHA's safety and health, right? They would have a fit if this guy drove down the street in America. So there's all these laws, and there's all these things that bind us, and before you know it, 15 hours later, you might get a propane tank in the back of a truck strapped down with 1 million wires around it. But it's caged, it takes forever, and it's all law. But when we're in India, we're just like the guy with the propane tanks on the back. The message, the delivery, which is what he's doing, he's delivering gas for a purpose. We have a message to deliver for a purpose. And that's not just for anyone who goes to India. That's anyone everywhere. That is the first word. And the second was kind of part of Daniel's testimony. It was that day that we evangelized in the village. I realize some people like to hear miraculous. Some people like to hear, you know, this happened or that happened. And we got stories for that. But that day, this morning I woke up and I felt God put David on my heart versus Goliath. We actually did a skit in one village. But this particular day, Daniel and I saw some rough stuff. We saw a young child who was just burnt half its body. Sorry. Saw an old man that couldn't see, he couldn't walk, he was just decrepit. And we get through this, we see a handicapped girl who, she understands words, she can speak a little Telugu, but she's handicapped. And we just, it was a tough day. But we kept going, and I felt some supernatural strength. The whole day, I felt great. I felt like every person we went to next, even if I felt completely drained after praying for someone like Jonah did, I never questioned. I just knew next. That's all I knew. And when Daniel said, I don't feel I'm hearing from God, I immediately just prayed for him. I couldn't. That was it. But the story I got this morning about David and Goliath was he was like David. And the next person we went to, he was called to go speak to him. I was like, you should share with the next person. That's when he told me, I don't even think I'm hearing from God. And then the pastor we were with as our translator asked him to share with the next guy. And so he did. But what I saw was I saw David pick up stones and trust in God, and Goliath was slain. As soon as he spoke the word, he didn't even waste time with making a quick relation, like to tell you, like, hi, my name's this, I'm from America, what do you do, this and that. He just straight went to the gospel, and this man got saved because of it. So you never know what you're going to see or what word God gives you.
Wow. India was the most wonderful experience I've ever had in my life. Like, I know I could never have the experience anywhere else in the world. And just seeing how happy everyone can be with how little they have. And just seeing all the beggars and stuff on the streets. Like, how can you live like that? I would want to kill myself. I wouldn't know how to live like that with no arms or legs. And he's just, like, kind of rolling around on the ground. And I try to preach to them. And I'm just, like, I'm sorry. I believe in this God. And I don't agree with that. I'm just like, why can't they just get it? They don't even see what's right in front of them. They could be so healed. I was getting tired of people rejecting me. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it anymore.
Oh,
I was wanting to see someone accept me because before I left for India, I had a dream about me healing someone in India. A beggar who was on the street, just like brokenhearted. And I wasn't seeing anything like that. It wasn't working out. So the day we went to the villages, I was with Gentry and Moriah and our translator. And I saw a guy sitting on the ground. He didn't look like he had anything at all in his life. And Dutchie's like, you should go pray for him, man. You could really bless him. And I'm used to what other people would do. They just say, no thanks. I'm good. So I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And I was in a really bad mood. Like, I did not feel like doing this at all. So I went over. My translator, Pastor Danny, and I prayed for him, and I said, God, I know you have something for me to do. There's something. You gave me a dream to heal somebody, and it's not working out, and I need you to help me. So I prayed, and I said, God, he has a broken life, and I know you love him so much, and he can be the most life-filled person that ever lived, if you would just come inside his heart and if he could just see and fathom your love for him, then his life would be changed. And of course, he was just like all head drooped down and just like slouching. And as soon as I said that, he like perched up and he was like looking around, and then he looked at me. He was like, he took my hand. He's like, thank you so much. That was really good. And I almost felt like crying. I was like, you're welcome. Did you know that Jesus died for you a long time ago? And just because he loves you, he gave his son that had a perfect life. And even if you were the only one. There's a lot of good people in the world that even if you're the only one, Jesus still would have died for you. That's right. And he's just like, really? Really? I didn't know that. I didn't know that there was a God like that. So I said, well, he can live in your heart forever and you can go live with him for eternity if you want. So I was like, yeah, sure, I'd like that. So I prayed for him and he was like, oh, thank you so much. He stood up and he was like, wow. It was such a refreshing moment for me because I know out of the billions of people, out of the billions and billions of people in India, I'm a little over-exaggerating, but it seems like that. And even though as I walked away, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I'm probably not going to see him again. That was really nice, but there's a lot of people in India and I'm probably not going to come in contact with him again. But on the way back, riding home in the auto, God was like, Hannah, you're going to see him again. That should give you something to rejoice about. Every single time you pray for someone, that means you're going to see them someday. And you're winning souls for God. And it doesn't matter if they reject you. You can know that God's proud of you for trying, at least.
Amen. It was really something watching all of our children go out daily to evangelize and then come back. And sometimes they were completely worn out and sometimes they were completely energized. And yet every time you knew it was the Lord. And it was nothing short of overwhelming. The last day that we were there, we had a debrief with our hosts. And I said, I'm going home so full. I'm so full. I was not drained at all. I was not exhausted. I didn't feel as if our mission was in any way incomplete. I was full of what the Lord had done. And it's like my husband said, you really just have to go. If you haven't left this country, then for one moment, forget that you're an American who doesn't go anywhere. And go. We didn't go to India because there was nothing to do in Kingston. We didn't go because the work here was so complete that we just were looking for something else to do. Let's see. We went because the scripture says, go unto all the world and preach the gospel. And while we were there, my husband challenged the preachers that were there and said, you know, the scripture says, go unto all the world and preach the gospel. So if you have not believed for the Lord for your nations, then you have to increase your faith. Amen. Believe God to bring you to America. We need the Indian voice here to say, hello. Open up your voice. Women, you will love it. Even after all the noise and the traffic. I mean, thank you for all the wonderful comments on my sari. It was $4. It was $1.50 to get the shirt made. I have to explain this because this is an everyday sari. This is the scrub the house and wash your clothes sari. If you actually are going on a special occasion, I didn't even want to buy one of those saris. I would never have been able to wear it. If I had worn it today, you would have thought we were receiving the president. Gold thread, rhinestones, I would have glowed in the dark. And yet, it's something so vibrant. I had expected India to be much dirtier than it is. I expected India to smell worse. Because of the stories that came back, I was trying to prepare myself for the worst, you know. But we were baptized into India with cab drivers that brought us to wrong hotels and insisted they were right and dump off your luggage and leave before you can argue with them. And your team is separated and your babies don't sleep through the night because they're 11 hours behind the time schedule and, you know, all of that fun stuff. You're suffering for Jesus in 90-degree weather. I came back much darker than I left. But I will say it was very nice being average height. Come on. I wore my 2-inch flip-flops and I was looking down on everybody. It was awesome, men included. The children that we were able to work with were absolutely amazing. The people that lived in the huts around the building that we lived came to a Sunday school that Vijay and Nirja held in their home on their balcony. Our children taught them songs and Bible stories and did skits. It was just about completely impromptu every time. And it was so beautiful. We were able to teach a couple seminar where we had the couples from Pastor Danny's church, which is the Friends Meet Church. It's the ministry that Vijay and Nirja Christian began, their founders. Awesome. Awesome. My husband taught on conflict resolution and relationships. We do not understand relationships the way the Indians do. When they have to preach to their young Christian women and say, you put your blinders on, because if you get distracted by cutesy boy here sitting in the second row on the other side of the church because they split the women and the men so that there's no distraction, and your parents come to you and say, we found a match, you cannot refuse. Our girls do not understand that. They call our marriages love marriages, and they actually talk down on them because our divorce rate is so high. Who's right? I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying we don't have it quite. They cannot refuse. And so they cannot afford to be distracted. They understand the choice of love. They understand that when marriage comes, you unite. And somehow you do it by faith. And the marriages in that church were incredible. We spoke on parenting, and I told some funny stories and embarrassed my children terribly. And it was awesome. They weren't there. Oh, man. But what else? What else is there but that the gospel went out with strength? And I am so proud of our team, the way they poured out. I just thought of that scripture where Paul says, I'm poured out as a drink offering. They were poured out daily. They came back empty. And then we prayed together and we were energized and they went out again full and they came back empty. You haven't lived the Christian life unless you have done that. As believers in America, we do not know what it means to be empty. We do not understand. When I spoke to Nirja and I said, the government feeds our poor, and her jaw dropped open. They have a Feeding the Poor program where every week they feed between 100 and 200 homeless on the street because they were born there or will likely die there. We don't understand poverty. We do not understand it to the level that they won't ever be able to move from that spot. Our government will make a way for you. Their government is completely rejected them. They do not even count them in the census. And so let us please understand the gift that we have. And please, please, if it is not in you to go, if you truly cannot, and be before the Lord about that, then send. Be a part of the sending. Because your sowing will still reap you a harvest. That you will also reap. It is a promise. He guarantees it. And he so longs to bless you. India is a ripe harvest. It is not a Christian-friendly government. But it is a ripe harvest. And you can be an incredible blessing whether you go or whether you send. So please let me encourage you. Amen.
Thank you, Laura. I'm not going to try to follow that. I'm just going to pretend like it never happened. Good morning. How's everybody doing? didn't work. I didn't know what to say, so I grabbed the reading program on my way up here, and this is the verse, not the reading program, the bulletin. Look at the back of the bulletin if you got one. Genesis 1, 3 through 5 says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day." That's the God that we serve. Where's the, that's the God that we say that we serve. Noah's really improving on his reading. We realize that Noah needed to just work harder on his reading. And so, what better way than give him the Bible to read? And so he started reading. I was like, Noah, how far did you get? I'm still in Genesis 1. And I was like, okay, what? He's like, well, I'm just reading, about how God made everything and made us and made the animals. He just made everything. It was just so... Just think about it for a second. We don't live that way. If we're honest with ourselves, we don't live that way. We don't live, when we pray and close our eyes and say, God, thank you for this food, it's somehow there's a disconnect between who God really is and the God that we pray to. If you're willing to be honest with yourself, and I feel like this trip just challenged every single one of us, myself included, who is the God that I pray to? Who is he really in my own understanding? In my spirit that's been born again, my spirit's aware of who God is. It's his seed. That spirit has no problem understanding God. But my mind, my intellect, my emotions, my soul, that whole realm of who I am, I pray to a God that's, he's like, he's hit or miss. It's like I'm hoping I catch him and I get the answer that I want. But there's no guarantee in my soul. I don't feel a guarantee when I pray for people to be healed. I don't feel that guarantee. My spirit knows who God is. And yet because I'm distracted and pulled and whichever other thing gets in the way, and I don't have all the answers for what gets in the way, but I'm telling you, there's something, or there's a resolve in my spirit that before my time here is up, I will understand how to live by my spirit. And that's all I think that God is expecting of his children right now. We don't have to have every answer. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to be raising the dead every time you pray for someone at a funeral. But you have to have a determination that goes beyond what your understanding is, and it drops into your spirit that before my time's up, I'm going to figure out, I'm going to trust God that I will live and be led by my spirit. Because I'm telling you, when you taste and you begin to, you catch whiffs of it, they slide by, and you just want to grab a hold of it. There was this one village we were praying in. It was called the Ombi Village. And I remember we had this meeting, and do you have the pictures up, Dan? Is Dan up there? What do you got, Nick? Do you have anything up there? Something? There's one that shows a picture of some people sitting. There you go. Hold that right there. It's very hard to see. You can see the table and the chairs probably. Just beyond the table on the ground, go to the next one. I think it shows those people sitting better. That's what I want you to see. This is the women and children of a village they've passed the halfway point of Christians and unbelievers in that village, which is amazing. It's amazing when that happens, when you go to villages where there's not a single believer, not one. In fact, it's difficult to even go to those because usually the chief is against any foreign god coming into that. But this chief was open, and he wasn't a believer yet, but he was open to having Pastor Wayne Joseph be able to go there. I believe it was 12 or 15 years ago that he went to this village for the first time and planted a church there. This is the women and children sitting in that church today. And we met the pastor who was driving back from us with us that night back to Pastor Wayne Joseph's place to have a pastor's conference. And so Pastor Wayne was basically going here to pick him up. And while we were there to pick him up, he took us with him to be able to minister at this village. And that table that you see there, while we're beginning to sing, while the things are beginning to happen, we kind of filled those chairs that are there, and then they're on the backside around that table. They bring the table out. They put these little drinks on there for us because we're these amazing spiritual giants that have come in among them to be able to minister to them and to support who they are and bless them. In many ways, their culture allows them to see us as gods. It's an amazing thing, and you can't let it become an ego trip because it very easily could. They literally, it's not a show, they literally in their understanding because of some of the Hindu background, the karma and the different caste systems, when they see someone white and big and strong and tall, there's a level of respect that they give you that's really not always healthy. But the fact is they set a table out for you. We got to sit around that. We had these little refreshments, little cookies. And we just began to visit with them. In the process of the meeting, goats would jump up on that table. This This village is about 2 hours outside of where Pastor Wayne's house is, and that's 4 hours train ride outside of Vizag. That's up in the mountains. And so this is as remote as you can get. We drove probably 20 miles of dirt road without passing any villages. Like, you pass a village every so often. Then we were going, I'm like, where is he taking us? And we're going and going and going. If we climb this mountain, we go across the dry stream, but we start to climb this mountain. We get up in between these two big mountains, and there's like this little flat spot, and in that is this little village, farming village. Obviously, there's cows, goats, chickens, just anywhere that they feel like going at any given time, that's where they are. And so they're jumping up on the table in the middle of praise and worship, and you gotta there's a certain flexibility that being in India will develop in you, and you can't really get it from watching videos. You gotta taste it and see it and experience it. There's a certain flow that you have to get past what you're used to be able to hear the Spirit and move. But in these women and children on the floor right there, as we began to sing, they started to, by the second song, the first song was a clapping song, and the words were coming too fast. I couldn't quite pick them up. By the second song, they kind of were going into this worship song, and it was so powerful. It was so moving. This is their church. That little square of area between the huts, that's where they assemble. They bring the table out. They know that it's time for meeting, and those that are Christian will come out to hear from their pastor. That's their congregation. That's their sanctuary. That's it. It began to get dark, and as the worship started, it was getting dark out, so you could start to see the stars. And there was a moon that night, and it was just open. Every once in a while, a young goat would come and like trot across the table, just being mischievous. But the sound of these women and children. Now the men, you see the concrete steps on the left because they don't sit with the women. This was before the meeting started, which is why there's no one in the chairs. That side up there filled up with men, and they sat there while someone else in the village gave us a quick tour of the village, because once they came out and sat down, they weren't moving. They were ready to hear. And so one of the elders said, hey, let's show you around the back. So we kind of walked up in between a few huts, and they just sat there. When we got back, maybe 20 minutes later, they're still sitting there just waiting for us to speak. And so they began to sing, and the sound that began to come, there was one song that they went into, and I couldn't understand the words, but then they started singing. It was the chorus, and it was just it was like la 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 la, and then hey 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 hey. It was like all just what's that called in jazz? It's scat or something. It sounds, yeah, scat. Thanks, Brother Ed. It's good to hear your voice again. But the anointing that came inside of me at that moment was, I was locked in that moment. It was like eternity just hit me, and I was stuck there. And as the next song went through, and then it was time for people to share, and I think I remember Jonah was sharing some stuff, I was just stuck sitting behind that table with all the animals, and it didn't smell the greatest. This is a farm village. The animals live in the huts with the people. It's not like they have a stable. It's just their life is an omelet. It's all mixed together. It's a milkshake. They don't segregate things. It's just all one big thing. And they're amazing people. I was stuck there in that moment. I was locked there with no words, with no full understanding of what was happening on the inside of me. But I'm going to tell you, for those people sitting on the ground, somehow, and I don't know how they got it, but they have an understanding and a revelation of God, that He's the God that made everything to them. He really is. There is a sense that in the sound of that simple song, as those women and children, little children smaller than Hadassah, began to sing, when it got to the la-la, the simple part, the sound that came up, there was no building to contain it. It was just straight from them to the stars. There's no words for it, so I'll stop. But it got on the inside of me. And as much as I feel like I've poured myself out here as my wife and I and our family minister here in worship and loving people and caring for people and preaching about our life groups and all that stuff, I was never poured out to the degree that I had been poured out to earlier that day, so that by that night, when I sat there and heard the sound of those voices, that I was able to be impacted by eternity in my heart. And as we sat there, every once in a while, a cow would move. There was like right behind those chairs, there was like a drop-off about 6 feet with a wall, and the cows were kind of just hanging out down in there, cows and goats and whatever else was there. You could feel their breath sometimes on the side of you. It's just, these people are worshiping God. And I had no reference point for that in my mind. I had no way of measuring that against what we do here on Sunday morning. And it's even this morning coming back into this place, everything we did was amazing and beautiful, and the presence of God is so rich and pure. And yet, in that moment, I'm telling you something, in that moment, I would, if I could reproduce that moment, guaranteed, I would fly back next week, and I would go to that place, and I would sit in that chair to feel that feeling. And that's what I want you to hear this morning. You've heard the testimonies of my family, Jared. There is a pouring out and an exhausting of everything that you think you have that's precious. And when you pour it all out and you give it and you just let it all go, God can dump things into you that go so much deeper than what you're used to. We don't come to church exhausted and emptied from giving out all week long. We just don't. I don't. As much as we minister, as much as we counsel, as much as we advise people and pray for people and stand in faith and intercede and fast at times, no matter how much we pour out here in America, it's not being poured out. I'm sorry, it's not. But when you go to places, they pull it out of you. They pull it out of you. When we began to speak and the team began to speak to these people, total full attention from little kids just being held in their mouth, full on attention, listening to every word that we would say. And I remember as we began to wrap up the meeting, they brought a woman and they sat her down on the left. You can't really see her. I don't think she's in it yet because, is she the pink one? She came later. It was just getting dark here. So by the time the meeting was over, it was dark. And they said, this woman's been paralyzed. And so I began to ask Pastor Wayne. He didn't even know how. They just told him, can your team pray for this woman? And turns out she was giving birth just months before. And somehow in the process, the baby was born okay and everything, but she lost feeling and mobility from her hips down. This woman, they had to help her out, and they sat her there. So she was there for the end of the meeting because I guess it was too much pain for her to sit. She needed to lay down. And so she was sitting there, and as we team gathered around her, and I said, we need to get her to stand up. Can we please get her to stand up? And so they talked to her, and she said, she nodded yes. She was willing to try to stand up. And so they helped her up, and we gathered around this woman, and we began to just pray. I mean, did we pray or did we pray? Jonah, I mean, we all had a... Hannah wasn't there, but the guys, Jared, Daniel, Jonah, and myself, we just began to pray, and we did, I mean, we poured in, we prophesied, we spoke faith, we called down every heavenly host, we called upon every baptism and every anointing that we've ever received, and we imparted everything, and we just prayed the scripture. We got louder, we had the group on the floor start to sing, and they stood up, and they began to sing, and they began to rejoice, and we began to pour and pour and pour. And we're just believing God. We're speaking in tongues. We're asking her, how you feeling? How you feeling? No, I don't feel any difference. We're going and going and going. We went for like 20 minutes. And she asked, could she please sit back down again? Because although the pain had subsided, although she still there was a countenance lift on her face, she still couldn't walk. And I want to tell you something. Until you have fully invested everything that is on the inside of you, in everything that you believe, you can quote the scriptures, you can stand there and yell them out of the top of your lungs. But I'm telling you, there's a revelation that we have to get of who God is. In my mind, he can't be the God that speaks and things happen. Because that woman should have been dancing around that village. But are you willing to try? Are you willing to go and invest thousands of dollars to try? And what I've committed to myself and I've committed before God is that, God, I will not live my life another day by history. I've been far too good at being a historian. I can measure everything that hasn't worked in my life and say, this is probably where I'm going to end up. And I'm done looking backwards. Because God has not called us to be historians. He's called us to be visionaries. And visionaries believe that this book can still happen today. I mean, we poured ourselves out. There was tears. I've seen this guy touch people and then fall on the ground. The power of God, he could have whispered. And that woman could have danced up and down the hillside shouting for joy. But for whatever reason, I tell you what happened to me this morning is God had to bring me back there and show me that the hope deferred from that moment had made my heart sick. And I'm trying to live my life now and find joy in his presence, but I'm trying to live out of history of what didn't work the way I thought it would. That woman could be healed right now jumping around. I don't know. Because when she sat back down on the floor as we were leaving, I touched her head and she looked up and there was something in her eyes. She was smiling. And so I had to ask her, said, there's no more pain. She doesn't feel any pain. So maybe she's well now. I don't know. I can't say because it's in the middle of nowhere and probably no one's going to even go in there and find out. But in that moment, what I wanted to see God do with all, with everything. There wasn't one little thing, like, I'm not holding on to one little thing thinking that, oh, if I'd only given that up, God would have moved. But I'm not living the rest of my life with that in mind. Do you understand that? There's something about our history that robs us from what God wants to do. And we have to understand this at a young age. For you young ministers, I'm speaking to this team right here. Everything that we saw and we poured ourselves into and we didn't see, you just have to keep going. The history of what we've established in our own attempts is not what proves the gospel to be true. It is the power of Jesus Christ, and it's the fact that we are found in him. And we're going to see amazing things because we're going to keep pouring ourselves out until we're so exhausted that God's going to do something, and there's not going to be any way that any person can say, look, it was me that did it. And there's a foolishness in that. And there's a breaking of your pride in that. That you can't get any other way. But are you committed? Are you willing to sow in to stories that almost worked? You have to. What else do we have? When Jesus asked him, are you going to leave too? He said, where else can we go? Even though it's not working out the way we thought, you have the words of eternal life. There's no place else to go. If we can't stand on this, what else do you have? What's your alternative? There's no other religious system in the world that's showing this is the better alternative to the Christian life. It doesn't exist. It's all a mess. And for whatever degree we are struggling as a nation because we've left our Christian roots, I'm telling you, there's no other model that even comes close than the model of God in charge of a country. And his scriptures being the doctrine by which we live. And so it's God is calling me back to a fresh intensity in the way that if you're just reading the Bible, you miss it. It's not about reading. There's life in the inside of it. And there is a different level of life that we have to be hungry for if we're going to see God move and change what's on the inside of us. And there's such a hunger in me to be able to go back to some of these places and look at the same people and pray all over again, fresh, as if nothing ever failed before. I'm telling you, there was times when I would just attempt faith. You know, you can pray, someone says, please pray for me, and you kind of pray the safe prayer, and you just pray, well, if nothing happens, at least this looks polite, and it kind of, and Lord, if you don't move on this person, I just pray that you'd give the doctor's wisdom, and all those prayers, I'm not knocking those prayers, I'm saying for me personally, I don't care how many times we have to fail, I don't care. And that's what I could see in my especially my son Jonah and in Daniel and Hannah too. I don't care how many times it doesn't work. When it works, oh my God. Jared and I looked at each other after some of the times when we pressed in as brothers, two by two, we sent them out and we poured our hearts in and we prayed for people. And sometimes people got saved. It was awesome. But you know the times. When that person's key to that village, I remember Vaughn came back and talked about a person, a beggar on the street with leprosy. He said, God, if you just touch this person, this whole village would open up. To go back in, we prayed together sometimes, and both of us looked at each other and said, I think I asked him, and he said, absolutely, absolutely, there's no way. If one of these people that we're praying for in this way, if something happens with them supernatural, you couldn't pry me back into the U.S. with a crowbar. I'll find a way to have my children there. I don't care. There's a hunger on the inside of me to see hurting people. It's not about how you look. It's got nothing to do with it. God must receive glory for the sacrifice of sending his son. He must receive it. He is due it. And whatever life we choose to live, if it's not a life that looks at God as the one that says, let there be light, and there it is, then we've got growing to do. It's okay. Don't beat yourself up over it. Recognize that there's more. And to the degree that what you're faithful, what you have is the degree that he's going to grow you and prosper you and give you the anointing to go to the next place. Don't be discouraged. Don't let discouragement come in on the inside of you. If you've been believing for a marriage, if you've been believing for a lost sibling, a lost family member, a son or a daughter, whoever it is, whatever it is that you're standing in faith for and God has not acted in the way that you think and expect him to act, don't stop believing. The greatest curses of this country is, remember, Thomas, the engine, whatever, I think I can. What is that? What a joke. God didn't say, trust me and tell me that I think you can. He can. He did it already. But we have to align ourselves with that. This is not a game of let's see if this can work. It works every time. I don't care what I've seen in the future. Vision, not history. Vision and not history. Forgetting those things which are behind. Pressing forward to the things which are ahead. And you've got to grab a hold of your soul sometimes and force yourself to look forward. Amen. We're going to have to close with a song today because we've got to allow our spirits to be lifted up. We've got to praise our God and our King. India is an amazing place. I could tell many times when absolutely everything that should have happened one way didn't happen that way. And the Lord began to challenge me in my spirit just this morning as we began to sing about His glory. You know, it's amazing. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward. Do you know how often when you go to press forward and you go to do something, how many times when you're going to do something do you forget what you're doing? Isn't it amazing? I'll go into a room, I go, what am I here for? It's so easy to forget what you're doing, and yet how easy is it to remember an offense that someone committed against you 6 months ago? And you can hear every word of the conflict. Flocked in you. You got a hold of that one. It's not getting away. Or it's got you, maybe. It's not letting go. It's amazing how fast, you know, we got to the airport and we found out that there was miscommunication with the airline and that our daughter Hadassah, who was just supposed to cost about $100, ended up costing over $1,000 to get her over with us. And it was too late to make any changes. The anger and there's a language barrier with these people at the desk and you're barely able to function in English, and there was so much frustration. And it took almost the whole flight, 15 hours, before we landed on the other side. I hadn't thought one moment in that whole time, never once did the thought cross my mind. Remember all those people that gave you Pentecostal handshake? 100 here, a couple hundred there, 50 here, 20 there. I don't know how many people in this room came up to my wife and I and just handed us money. Just off the records, not just no one else to know about, just handed it. Just put it in my pocket. You forget about all the good stuff so quick. You can easily forget every blessing of God and latch a hold of the injustice that we suffered at that desk with that person that said, no, you got to pay full price, full child's price. What are we going to be willing to forget about our past? What are you going to be willing to forget about your past? Offenses? Failures? Sin? The anointing this morning at the beginning of the service was all about sin being broken off, habitual sin being removed from your life. What keeps us from letting go of it? Because we remember all the times we tried before. It's studying the history instead of studying the fact that Jesus Christ made a way that by accepting His power that He provided on the cross, you can be free from now on. Makes no difference what happened the last 40 times. Makes no difference. Do you hear me? Do you understand that? It makes no difference. The moment that you know that you are set free by the power of the cross is the moment that you're free. That's the moment. And Father, I thank You that this morning, as we've just been just pressing into Your presence, believing You, God, to be able to hear what You're saying. Lord, that I'm just trusting You to be able to hear clearly what You're saying to me, for my family, for this house, for the vision of this ministry that's growing and expanding, Lord God. I thank You for it.